I guess as we get older, the sand drops faster, doesn't it? I can't believe it's been 4 years since I stood in this pulpit and spoke words at the memorial service for Dr. Bill Hull. And indeed, I thought it was only 3 years ago that I was here for Holy Week when Dr. Mobes invited me. And I found out that Doug Dortch has been here 7 years. And you need to know that I had eye surgery not long ago, and the doctor asked me, what do you want to do most? Do you want to read or do you want to see at a distance? I said, I want to read. He said, I'll fix you up. So he gave me some glasses that I don't have to read with. Problem is, I can't see you. So if at any point you want to get up and leave, I'll never know. I am glad to be with you as you launch this 75th year of your birthday. And I want to ask you to keep foremost in mind as you celebrate this year the question, whose church is this? And of course, you know the only place to begin is to say that this is the church of Jesus Christ. No other place to begin. Your church reaches much further back than April 25, 1944. It reaches much further back because this is Christ's church. It wasn't born in 1944. You are part of the heritage of that church. This is the first answer to the question, whose church is this? It's the most important answer to the question. Every other answer is subordinate and inferior and secondary because this is Christ's church. It's not, first of all, a denominational church. I know you proudly carry the name of Baptist, and we're going to talk about the Baptist this afternoon. But this is not, first of all, a Baptist church. This is a church that honors the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This is not a denominational church. It's not, first of all, a Birmingham church or an Alabama church or an American church. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's bigger than Birmingham, bigger than Alabama, bigger than the United States of America. This church, because it is the church of Jesus Christ, transcends local and regional and national loyalties. You are part of the big, universal, cosmic church of Jesus Christ. I've always wanted somebody to appoint me to be the bishop of all Christians. And they've been reluctant, but I'm going to tell you, if I were a bishop endowed with the power to act for all Christians, I would put two small words before every Christian church in the world. And they would be Christ's Church. Christ's Church, Mountain Brook Baptist. Christ's Church, Canterbury Methodist. Christ's Church, First Pentecostal. Christ's Church, the Salvation Army. Christ's Church, St. Luke and St. Francis. They're Christ's Church. All Christians, all Christian churches are Christ's church. And if we don't get that right, we won't get anything right about the church of Christ. And my guess is that there is a reason why people come and join your church from other denominations. And that is because they recognize that you're bigger than Baptist and that you're bigger than Mountain Brook. But some of us were not reared in such wonderful places. Some of us come from different Baptist churches where they were stricter and more narrow. My wife and I, like I think many married couples, joust each other every now and then about each other's kinsfolk. And we talk about your people. I say, your people, and then I let loose of a litany of negatives. And she'll say, yes, but your people, your people. And she begins to rebuff my good people from Ireland. One of my wife's people, now in heaven, I hope, was what I call a warrior Baptist. She took no denominational enemies. She was a Baptist, Baptist. She was a Baptist first of all and last of all. And if you weren't one, you weren't a Christian at all. In fact, she was so grateful to me, she loved me. Because I rescued my wife from a lifetime of Methodism. Kay was a Methodist. And I baptized her by immersion, and her kinsman was there, and she rejoiced. She really didn't think anybody was going to heaven but Baptist. And she had a husband who wasn't a Baptist. I think it's wonderful that you sought to teach the Baptist heritage in this place. But you said by word and deed, according to your history, you said by word and deed that this is Christ Church. Bigger than Baptist, bigger than Birmingham, this is Christ Church. Whose church? Christ Church. But there are other answers to the question. This church is also their church. All those who've gone before you. It is the church that is built upon the foundation of somebody else's faith and somebody else's money and somebody else's sacrifice. My guess is that many of you in this congregation this morning joined the parade late. And you may not know the names. Oh, I bet you know the name of Dr. John Buchanan. Do you know the name of Dr. James Lee Ayers, whom your historians say were the founding fathers of this congregation? Do you know anything at all about that Tuesday when they met and the expectancy and the concern and the atmosphere of creating a new church, and they called it Crestline, I think. Do you know anything at all about when your church was started and you had a house, and in the back of the house was the sanctuary, and in the front of the house is where you put the pastor and his family? You owe them an apology. Anybody that puts a parsonage next to the church, that's one thing, but in front of the church, that's something else. When I read your history, I read about Sunday school classes meeting in automobiles because you didn't have enough building. Look at this place. I wonder what your first pastor would think if he were standing here this morning where I'm standing and looked at all of you and realized what you have in this place. This is their church. You know, our Roman Catholic friends make much of All Saints' Day, and we Baptists make too little of it, because our faith is built upon the faith of those who've gone before us. Whose church? Christ, theirs. But if you answer that question in terms of stewardship and ministry, and you say, whose church is this? You have to say it's your church. It's your church in terms of the ministry of Christ in this place. You belong. You're members. Do you know anything that feels any better than belonging? Being a part of something? I read an article the other day entitled "The Saddest Words in the English Language." You can guess. Goodbye. Heartbreak. But one of them was, what party? There's nothing worse than to be left out. Have you ever tried to comfort an eighth grade girl who didn't make cheerleader? Have you ever talked to a young adult woman who sensed in her bones that God had called her to preach the gospel and she couldn't find a pulpit? I know I shouldn't quote a country singer in a place like this, but my favorite country singer is Larry Gatlin. And he's got a song where he says, "Well, she dropped me in Denver, and I knew I had a mile to fall." Now, y'all are supposed to laugh at that. And it makes me know that you don't know anything about country music. You can't listen to country music if you don't know geography. She dropped me in Denver, and I knew I had at least a mile to fall. Mile High Denver. And then he said, "Is there life after Denver? Is there life after Colorado at all?" Rejection is the worst hurt of all. It will buckle your knees. It will take your breath. And it will crush your heart. But here you are, members. You belong. You've been accepted, not only by Jesus Christ, but by this church. This is your church. This is your church. Not in the sense of a private club. You don't own this church in the sense that you keep others out and let a few in. But it is your church in terms of stewardship and ministry for the years ahead. It is yours, the lonely, to befriend. It is yours, the hungry, to feed. It is yours, the ministry of Christ to embrace. It is yours, the gospel to preach and to teach. This is your church. And sooner or later, it gets down to money, doesn't it? Doug Dortch asked me to say this. He really didn't, believe me. When I was in high school in Greenville, Mississippi, we teenage boys got up on Saturday morning after the football game Friday night. We'd get in our car and we'd just drive around Greenville. Greenville has two main streets, Washington and Main Street. And we'd drive up Washington to the levee, take a left, go one block, take another left, and drive down Main Street. Go to Main Extended, turn around, come back, go up Washington and down Main Street. We did that till the girls got up. But about lunchtime, when we got hungry, we didn't have much money, of course. And Greenville had parking meters. So you know what we'd do? We'd drive slowly around a block to see if we could find a parking meter that had some time left on it. Have you ever seen anybody do something like that? Have you ever done anything like that? My friends, God's people ought not to go around parking on somebody else's time. This is your church. The meter runs out. Quarters are needed. Dollars are needed. Sacrifice is needed to keep the church alive. Whose church? Well, it's your church. But there's one final answer. Whose church is this? This church belongs to the world for whom Christ came and lived and died. Paul seemed never to get tired of talking about the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. You know what he was talking about? The mystery that everybody is included in Christ's church. Not only those early Jews who became Christians, but the Gentiles, folk like us. Paul swung the doors open to the church and asked us to come in. And here is a truth that we must bring ourselves back to Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Please do this as you celebrate your birthday. When you come into this church, remember that it is not a catch basin. It is a conduit to bless the world in Christ's name. But you know what? Every local church, like every individual, can become greedy and self-focused and selfish. Do you know what Catherine and Lee Allen entitled their first history of this church? That's a question. Do you know? Outward focus. That's right. That's it. Outward focus. You know, I am sure it is true that when a church like Mountain Brook asks the question, whose church is this? And then you answer that question in terms of ministry to the suffering and the hurt and the lost of the world. When you answer that question that way, every other question becomes easy to answer. When we realize that our very existence as a congregation is to be a pipeline of mercy to all of God's creation, the only important long-range planning question is not, can we do this? But can this put us in a position to bless somebody and help somebody and heal somebody and save somebody? Your church at Mountain Brook is here for the very same reason that Kay's in my church in Macon is there this morning. We are here because the world is broken. We are here because Christ came to repair the world. And the best definition of church that I ever heard in all my life goes like this: all who love Christ in the service of all who suffer. This is Christ's church. This is their church. This is your church. And this church belongs to the world. Amen.